Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Thank you for your giving. Thank you so much. Standing on your feet for the reading of the word. Let's go to Matthew, the 14th chapter, verses 20 and 21. We might get there back there tonight, but I've got one more thing that I'd love to share about multiply before we get to the actual account. And this is what verse 20 says. And they did all eat and were filled. Somebody say, everybody ate. Everybody was full. You say, is that important? 20,000 people. That's more than the AT&T Center holds off of two fish, five loaves of bread. You say, how did that miracle happen? Jesus happened. When Jesus gets in the middle of what we have, multiplication, miracles happen. They took up the fragments that remained. So they all ate, they were all full, and there was 12 basketfuls left over. And they that had eaten were 5,000 men, not counting women and children. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, I'm in the multiplication. Come on. Or say we. Yeah, we are in the multiplication anointing. Tell them, I've moved from just enough to more than enough. You may be seated. Even if you haven't yet, that's a good declaration for you to make. As has been my custom the first 5 weeks, every time I hold a microphone in my hand in this room in 2022 and maybe beyond, I want to remind you four words: get your hopes up. So how does that relate? Because hope is the foundation for faith. And faith is what brings this kind of miracle to pass. I don't want to get into the aspects and pull this miracle apart just yet, but one boy with faith fed 20,000 people. One boy with faith fed 20. What could we do with faith unhinged, unleashed, pure in God? That's where multiplication happens. We hope that through this series that we are going to all begin to take the limitations off of our expectations. That our expectation, I love the song that they sang Sunday morning at 11 a.m. where it said, I've got peace that makes no sense. That's an irrational peace. That's peace beyond normal expectations. And I hope that through the series on hope and the series on faith at 11 a.m. on Sundays that we are leaning into God, you're a lot bigger than I give you credit for. As big as I think you are, add another billion to it, and you're still bigger than that. And so when we talk about taking the limits off of our expectation, that has nothing to do with God. Listen to this. God will be in your life as big as you want him to be. If you want a Sunday God, 11 o'clock to 12:30, that's what he will be. If you want a Bible study God, Wednesday night, 7 to 8:20, that's what he will be. Some people just want an Easter God. Some people just want a nativity scene, God. But I'm grateful that on a Wednesday night, we've got a room full of people that are saying, God, I don't want just the normal portion. God, I'm taking you out the box. God, I'm taking all the expectations that I have for you, and I'm going to multiply them by so much more. This series is designed for us to take inventory of what I have. I just preached about it while we received the offering, that a lot of times it's not what you don't have that's important. It's what you have. Because sometimes you can't control what you don't have, but you always can control what you have. And so you say, I don't have enough. No, you have just enough to plant as a seed or give to God. And remember, we covered it last session, that young man, that boy, that lad that gave him two fish and five loaves, he was going to eat regardless. But when he gave it to Jesus, he said, Jesus, if you can do something with this, I want everyone else to eat, and I want to eat. I know I'm going to get my full, but God, if you can do something with what I have and multiply it, I'm going to give it to you. And so I want to encourage you and challenge you as we get ready to press forward further into this year to give God what you have. And you can't, and I can't give God what I have until we know what we have, taking inventory of what's in our hand and what's in our life. This series is helping us define our role and our responsibility in the process of the miracle. Somebody say, God is a God of multiplication. Do you believe that tonight? That God is a God of more than enough. That you have not been talked out of how big God is or his power by small thinking people, small minded people, people that don't have faith like you have, people that are not in tune with what God is doing. I believe that God is still in the multiplication, the miracle, and the more than enough business. Before we go to Genesis chapter 1, one statement I would encourage you to write this down. We were created with a multiplicating anointing. A multiplying anointing was placed on your life from the beginning of time. Have you ever talked to a child and they've got big dreams? Have you ever talked to a child and they've got big vision? The moment they start talking, the moment they start sharing vision, the problem is at 18 months and 2 years of age, there's not a whole lot they can do besides talk it. And someone usually talks them out of their miracle between the ages of 2 and 18. So by the time that they go to school, they are jaded, they are hopeless, they are faithless, and they do not believe in the power of Jesus Christ. I am here to encourage you, no matter how old you are and no matter how long you've been around this thing called the gospel, never forget how powerful Jesus Christ is. Never forget how powerful his presence is. Never forget that his presence doesn't reside at Living Way, but anytime you call on the name, he said, I'll bring salvation. Anytime you worship, God shows up. And I want to encourage you tonight, Living Way, in this room, when we begin to worship, God showed up. And it wasn't just an adding God, and it wasn't just a subtracting God. It was the God of multiplication. And he's saying, is somebody finally remembering that I created you to dream big, to reach far, and to have great faith for the future? Let's go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. Everybody always gets very uncomfortable when we go to Genesis because, you know, there's a whole lot of Bible in front of Genesis. And you think we're going to be here till midnight. And God said, verse 26 of chapter 1, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. This was not God talking to man. This was God talking to himself. This is what I love. What God says about you is important. What God says to you is important. But before God speaks to you, let me encourage somebody. He's been talking about you. And so if you are sitting here today and you're saying, Pastor Brandon, we fasted and we prayed and it doesn't seem like God is really saying a fresh word to me, let me always encourage you, when God's audible voice and when the voice of the Spirit grows quiet in your life, remember there is 66 books of the Bible that is God's voice that you can always go back to and say, God, speak to me, encourage me, motivate me, chastise me, inspire me to be and to do what you've called me to do. But let me encourage you with this. If God is not talking to you, take solace in this fact. He is talking about you. And God doesn't have anything bad to say about you. God has everything that he says about you is faith-filled. Everything that he says about you is creative. It's purposed. It's what he created you to do. Sometimes I believe I'm so far from the expectation level. I'm so far from that multiplied miracle level that God wants me to live at. I don't think that he gets up there and runs his mouth about me and my lack of faith. I think that he's always talking faith about Brandon. I think he's always talking future about me. You say, what does that sound like? I think he's up there saying on February 9th, oh, Michael Gabriel, when Brandon's hopes get where they need to be, when his faith gets where it needs to be, I cannot wait to show him what his expectation and his faith in me can produce. Oh, I can't wait till his worship level goes a little deeper so he can hear me stronger than he's ever heard me. I'm just talking about me. Can I tell you that here on February 9th, while you were working your job, God was talking about you. While you were tucking your baby into sleep, God was talking about you and talking about them. While your husband who didn't show up to church tonight, that is okay because God is still talking about him. He's talking about you, and he might even talk to you about your husband tonight. But I am here to tell you, get your hopes up, get your faith ready, and watch God multiply what you have given him. There's an anointing for multiplication on us. God is talking about mankind in verse 26. We're talking about from the very beginning of time, God is talking, and he said, let us make man look like us. Let them have dominion over the fish, the fowl, over the cattle, over all the earth, every creeping thing. You look like God. That's why you can't even get out of the first book of the Bible and believe the lie of racism. Anytime that I talk about the lie of racism, I have to point this out. It is beyond stupid for us to argue about the color of dirt Jesus wrapped us in. You might be a little darker than me. You might be a little brighter than me, but it's all dirt. What matters is on the inside. Even the man of God in 1 Samuel 16, Samuel was rebuked because he was looking at the outward expression, and God said, I need you to quit looking at skin color. I need you to quit looking at height. I need you to quit looking at strength. I need you to quit looking for the look, and I need you to look past all of that to the heart. I am here to tell you today, God is not looking for the next Kenneth Copeland. He's not looking for the next Bishop Jakes. He's looking for the next believer that says, God, from the beginning of time, you've been talking about me. I look like you, and you expect me to reign in faith on this earth. Somebody say amen. He says, you have dominion. I love that word, dominion. I've been rebuked on social media before for using the word dominate. One of my favorite Bible teachers, Bill Winston, formerly a Chicago banker and now has one of the greatest churches in America, said, remember, you were never called to compete with anybody. You were called to dominate everything in your path. And one rebuke said, oh, nowhere in the Word of God does it tell us to use that word or to dominate or to walk in. And I said, well, and I did it nicely. I said, well, evidently you didn't get past verse 25 in the first chapter of your Bible, because we were created to dominate, not dominate one another. Another, but dominate every principality of darkness that comes against us, to dominate every spirit of lack, every spirit of poverty, every spirit of craziness, every spirit of lasciviousness, every spirit of racism, every perversion. We dominate those things and we move forward. He said, dominion is yours. He said, let's make them look like us. Let's make them reign in dominion. Remember, he's still talking about us. He hasn't started talking to us. But in verse 27, God starts talking to his creation. I've told my kids, and I've said this before, when you're talking to people or you're telling them something, the first thing you say is important. The last thing you say is important. The first thing that God says to, not about, the first thing he says to, verse 27, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them. This is what I love. Before God ever talked to us, he blessed us. There's a blessing just in knowing your creator. There's a blessing in just acknowledging. Oh, you say, what about evolution? Oh, I don't want to believe that lie. Why? Because it robs me of the blessing. The very first thing that God did, he said, oh, I made you to look like me. I've made you to reign with dominion. But he said, oh, let me tell you, there is a blessing connected to you. You were created with a multiplying anointing. You have been blessed. So everything you need, you've already have. You've just got to start multiplying and adding to that and making that thing grow. Verse 28, and God blessed him. And God said unto them, first words, be fruitful and multiply. That's our series. Be fruit. The first thing he said, be fruitful and multiply. I don't want to stand on this soapbox too long tonight, but the reason that I believe marriage is between one man and one woman, the reason that I will always be pro-life, is because the very first thing that God said we were created to do,
And the very first command that God gave us flies in the face of same-sex unions and abortion. Because if you are in a same-sex union, you cannot be fruitful and you cannot multiply. I thought I'd get a better amen on a Wednesday night. If you are in a same-sex union, you cannot do the very thing that God called you to do and created you to do from the beginning of time. Every time an aborted baby is ripped from its mother's womb, we are doing the opposite of what we were created to do. That's why I believe that God has raised voices like Living Way Up to not damn them to hell, to not condemn them, but to say, hey, there is a better way, and we want you to live to the purpose that Christ created you to live at. We want you to live purpose. We want you to bring purpose into life. That baby's got a future. That baby's got a destiny. I don't care how that baby was made. That baby was created in the image of God. It looks like God. It was created to reign in dominion, and I'm going to do my best to be fruitful and to multiply. I know that's a lot to take in, but you cannot believe the word of God and you cannot support those agendas and expect the multiplying God to move you from just enough to more than enough. Oh, I want a bigger bank account. You cannot be blessed if you cannot fulfill the first command. The first command was not go to church and tithe. The first command, the first thing that Jehovah God said to creation was be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful means to bear fruit. It means to grow. It means to increase. I looked at increase because I love that word increase. How many of you like that word increase? How many of you would love to show up at 8 a.m. at your job tomorrow and your boss say, hey, we are increasing your salary? How would you love for one of your insurance companies, we are increasing your benefits and you don't have to pay any extra? Increase. Increase means to make greater, to become greater, to make greater, as in an amount, the size, the strength. But let me tell you what I just pulled out of heaven this week while I was diving deeper into this topic. To increase means to make greater in amount, size, strength, or quality. My prayer changed this week, y'all. I'm not praying for more. I'm praying for better. Don't miss it. I'm not praying for more friends. I'm praying for better relationships. I'm not necessarily needing more money. I just need to do better things with that money. I don't need more time. I just got to be a better steward of that time. So a lot of us are saying, God, I want more. God, I want more. God, I want more. It is not more that is going to get you always to where you need to be. Sometimes, God, I need you to do something greater and increase. I need better in my life. Maybe you don't need to pray more prayers. Maybe just better prayers. Maybe it's not the 2 hours of worship that you think that's what it's going to take to hear from God. Maybe it's just better worship for 18 minutes. Maybe it's turning your phone off Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock and saying, God, for the next 75 minutes, this time is going to be better than it has ever been. Better. Somebody say better. How many of you like apples? Raise your hand. Like apples? I like apples. I like green apples. And then I like putting some chamoy on them. Come on, I'm from San Antonio, y'all, South Texas. Some chamoy and some Lucas. I got an amen in the back. God bless you, sis. Can you show me what an apple seed looks like? Now, they're a lot bigger on the screen, but we all know what an apple seed looks like. And you pick them out of the core of the apple or out of the apple when you're eating them. And so that's what an apple seed. What do we get from apple seeds? What do we get? I heard two things. One of you are right. The other group is wrong. I heard apples. We get apples. No. We don't get apples from apple seeds. We get apple trees. That's where some of our faith is. We think that the seed produces the fruit. Some of y'all are believing for fruit when God promised you trees. Don't miss it. Some of our prayers are saying, God, here's the seed. Now give me an apple. And God said, wait a minute. You gave me a seed. I don't want to give you an apple. I want to give you a tree that gives you hundreds of apples every year. Can I get your faith up? Can I get your hope up? We are praying too small, believing too small, and saying, God, I planted the seed. Now give me my fruit. And God is saying, you're expecting the wrong thing. I want to level that expectation up in Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, apple trees, apple trees. So that's the apple seed. Show me the apple. Some of us think that the apple seed turns into that. No, no, no. We're missing a great step. Show the apple tree. That's what God wants to give you. You know what I love about that? Sean, you and I are big boys. I have an apple. Unless you're starving to death, I'm not giving you some of my apple. But if I have that, Sean, come over to my house and bring a bushel basket. I got you, bro. Brother Kevin, you need some apples? I got you. You say, well, I don't really like apples. Well, you can get apple pie. You can get apple vent. There's all kinds of things you can make out of the apple. Sometimes some of us just need to get to the place where we say, God, here's the seed. Don't give me a piece of fruit. Give me the tree so I can be blessed. She can be blessed. They can be blessed. I can sell some and build kingdom. I can sow some more seed. Come on, somebody. We shout about that. Can I tell you there's one more step? One more step. We move from apple trees. Show me the next graphic. Apple orchards. Now I'm like, hey, not only do I have an apple for you, I got an apple tree for you. You see that tree? That's your tree. I know it's in my orchard, but that's your tree. You see that tree over there? That's for us to take apples to the prison. You see that tree over there? That's the widow's tree for us to be able to bless the widow. You see that tree over there? That's for us to be able to take to those people that are working, but they don't have enough just yet. I am here to tell you that seed doesn't end at an apple, doesn't even end at a tree. There is an orchard that God is trying to get you to, but multiplied has to happen. Forgive me, I don't like to read to you a lot, but I'm going to read to you. And I did all of this math myself. One apple seed can produce an apple tree. One apple tree at its maturity can produce 800 apples. Let me pause right here and tell them, if you only have one apple, you cannot eat it. You can eat some of it, but there's a seed on the inside that you're going to have to sow. One apple seed produces an apple tree that produces 800 apples. If those 800 apples have the average of 8 seeds in each of them, the first generation of multiplication goes from one apple seed to 6,400 apple seeds. Now we're not even talking about 10 generations. We're talking about one generation from overflow and surplus and more than you need. Can I talk to you first generation believers? You say, what does that mean? You're the first one in your family saved. It ain't going to take 100 years. It's not going to take 10 years. One faith, one hope in Jesus, one seed is going to turn into 6,400. Can I tell you, we can build this church one person at a time, or we can start praying, God, send the harvest. Your labors are ready. Your workers are ready. We are here to serve. I want this building filled up. It can take till 2032, or we can believe God in the next 6 months. I believe, God, that you're taking us from addition, adding one family here, 3 families here. So we're going to look up on a Wednesday night and say, look at what the Lord has done at Living Way. All because we got our eyes off of fruit and started looking at multiplied seed. What does joy multiplied look like? Joy unspeakable. What does peace multiplied look like? Peace that passes all understanding. What is the Holy Ghost? The evidence, what it looks like is where we can't even speak in English anymore. And we start praying and prophesying in our heavenly language. I am here to tell you, church, we've got to get past addition. And God's going to give us a slow growth. And God's going, we don't have time for slow growth. This world is shaking. China and Russia are aligning just like Revelation said they were. I don't know if we've got 10 months or 10 years, but I do know that we don't have enough time for here a little and there a little. What we need is for an outpouring of God to show up. And when that shows up, say, God, we are believing for a multiplication. We're believing for multiplication. We're believing for multiplication. The first generation from one seed is 800 seeds, 800 apples, which turns into 6,400 seeds. If you were to take those 6,400 seeds and plant them again, it would produce 6,400 apple trees, which would produce 5,120 apples, 20,000 apples. 5 million apples in the second generation. I am here to tell you that San Antonio is big, but it's not too big for Jesus. I'm here to tell you this world is big, but it's not too big for Jesus. And while the world keeps talking about evangelicals and deconstructing, I am praying, God, send the harvest. We are ready. We have planted. We have prepped. We have prayed. We have praised. We have worshiped. We are building teams so that when you bring them here, we can preach your gospel and Jesus can change their life. The second generation, one apple seed turns into 5,120,000 apples. Those apples would produce 40,960,000 apple seeds in the third generation. Those apple seeds in the third generation would produce 32,768,000,000 apples in the third generation. That means mature trees in 30 months could go from one seed to 32 billion. And we're over here praying, pay my gas bill. And I'm not hating on you if that's your prayer, but I'm telling you, get bigger prayers. The devil wants to keep you focused on your gas bill while the world is going to hell, but the devil is a liar. And some of us are saying, we're praying prayers, God, just give us some money to send Junior to community college. When, listen, I'm here to tell you, Junior don't have to go to junior college unless Junior wants to go to junior college. Get your hopes up, your prayers up, your faith up. I need us to start talking big. I need us to move from millions to billions. I need us to move from 3 or 4 saved to 100 were saved on Sunday and another 45 on Wednesday. And kids' church is having revival. And did you hear what happened at the palace in Seguin? I want the police chief. I want politicians. I want doctors. I want presidents. I want senators to call us and say, hey, what's going on there? Every time we hear your name, somebody's getting out of a wheelchair. Somebody's getting healed. Somebody's getting delivered. Demons are coming out of somebody. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about seed sown. I'm talking about multiplying. I'm through eating. It's time to sow. It's time to give. It's time to multiply. Stand on your feet. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, multiply. Multiply apple seeds to apple orchards. Multiply. Multiply. That's where it's at. Multiply. That was the first thing out of five that God says to creation. I'm going to say the next four real quick because I want to get to Matthew 14 next week. Be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful, multiply. Remember this, God will never give you a new word until you have obeyed the previous word. The very first thing that God told creation, be fruitful and multiply. Until we do that, he doesn't need to say anything else. Be fruitful, multiply. I love this, replenish, which means restore. Replenish the earth. I don't even have time to talk about that right now, but fill the earth again. How do I do that with one seed? Sow it. Put it in Jesus' hands. You say, well, how is that going to work? Remember, three generations, one seed, 32 million seeds. How am I going to reach my family? We shouldn't just be talking about your family. That's one generation. Let's talk about your family's 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 family. Let's talk about your boss's family, 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 family. Let's talk about your coworker. We are way too minimal thinking when we have a multiplied God. Number four, he said, subdue. It, the earth, to conquer and bring into subjection. I don't believe that restoration and the subduing can happen until we live in a multiplied faith, belief, and following of Jesus Christ.
I live in a faith house. I grew up in a faith house. You've heard Bishop talk. Every time the phone rings, he thinks it's going to be that million-dollar call. Say, has that happened yet? There's been some million-dollar calls. But I believe there's a $10 million call coming. Every time, every piece of mail, he's the first one. Has the mail come in yet? Since the Diana Coma can tell you out front. Has the mail come in yet? Why? Because he's not looking for bills. He's looking for that multiplied seed. Can I encourage you, get your hopes up, get your faith up, but place whatever you have in God's hands tonight. And let God begin to multiply, subdue. It's gonna when you do that, you're gonna subdue that earth. You're gonna tell that earth to lay down. Tell those things. And the last thing he said was have dominion, to rule, to control. The ice has been broken. One man of God, one woman of God, and here they come more. But I need some people to step out and say, Pastor Brandon, I love this preaching. I amen you, but I need it to be more than an amen. I put on social media this week, eventually our action has to be louder than our amen. Our amen is great on Wednesday night, but our action on Wednesday night, Thursday morning, Friday afternoon, I need some people of God to say, hey, I've been struggling, but I want to move into the multiplied miracle of who Jesus is and what God can do. I want to quit putting God in a box. I want to quit setting my expectations too low. If that is you in this house today, I need you to come out. I'm talking to people that are married, and your expectations is, I hope I can stay married. And that is not a hope. Your marriage is not just, I hope I stay. God, I want my marriage to be fruitful. God, I want my marriage to be strong. God, I want us to pray together. I want us to serve together. We're not just surviving. We want to thrive in Jesus. We want to thrive in Jesus. There's about 12 or 14 in this altar. I thought there'd be more, but I'm not disappointed. Why? Because Jesus turned the world upside down with 11 people. What could he do in San Antonio with 16 or 18 people? Here they're still coming. What could he do in Living Way with 18 or 20 people that step into the multiply? We wouldn't need anything else if we step in, if the 18 or 20 in this altar, or for those of you back at your seat saying, hey, I'm grabbing that word. I'm living in the multiplied power of Christ. I'm living in the multiplied mercy and grace of Christ. In the name of Jesus. If you're in this altar, I want you to lift both hands, and I'm talking to people online and in the room. If you've never said yes to Jesus, the first thing you need to give Jesus tonight is not your money, it's your heart. It's not your hand, it's your heart. Receiving Jesus into your heart and turning your heart over to him is called salvation. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, he will be saved. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says, if we confess, and we must confess, when we confess who Jesus is and that we are a sinner, salvation is made available to you. If you don't know Jesus tonight, you need to know Jesus first as a Savior before you know him as a multiplier. If you know Jesus, if you don't know Jesus, now's your moment. Step out of your seat. If you're watching online and you don't know Jesus, you can DM us, but I just encourage you to say a prayer right now. Ask God to forgive you of all of your mistakes and sin. Call on the name of Jesus and tell him that you believe in him as the one true living God, the Son of God, that he died for you, rose for you, bled for you, and you accept the redemptive work on Calvary and ask him to come into your life, that you claim him as Savior and Lord. He'll do just that. If you're in this house today and you need Jesus, now's your time. If you're in this house today and you've never been baptized in water, this is your moment to say, Jesus, I'm following you. I'm not worried about multiplied right now. I need to follow you first. We'll get to that next week. You follow Jesus, it changes things, puts you in perfect position for multiplied power. And if you'd like to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in another language, it is real. It is a free gift. And all you have to do is be a believer. And God said, I will give you it quicker than a father would give bread to his hungry son. That's quick. But if you're at your seat, you're doing great, and you say, Pastor, I love the word tonight, but everything is going well in my life, and I am exposed to the multiplied hand of God in my life, I need you to stretch your hand to the men and women in this altar right now, and I'm going to ask our prayer team to begin to lay hands in Jesus' name.
Okay.
We're doing perfect on time. Next week, we're going to jump right into Matthew 14. But before we do that, when you read the rest of chapter 1 of Genesis, the Bible says this. After he says you've been created to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish, to subdue, and to have dominion, this is what he says. I've given you every herb-bearing seed. See, why is that important? The two things the little boy gave Jesus was fish and loaves. In verse 26, he said, give them dominion over the fish. Come on now. In verse 28 and 29, he said, give them dominion over the seed, that's wheat. 4,000 years later, Jesus shows them a power that they had allowed to go dormant. He said, I don't know why you're bringing the fish and loaves to me when I created you with a power and a faith to multiply the fish, to multiply the bread, but until you have enough faith to do it, bring it to me, and when I break it apart, I'll show you what kind of power and dominion and authority and faith that you have. So what does that mean, Living Way? Tap into the 4,000-year-old revelation. You're stronger than you think you are. You have what it takes to lay your hand on the sick and let them recover, to lay your hand on the oppressed and depressed and have them delivered, to go into a hospital room and lead them out, not by the ones or twos, by the dozens, after God heals them, to speak salvation into your families. Multiply. He said, I'm just doing what I told you and gave you the power and ability to do when I first created you. If you've got a second mile offering, lift it up. God, we thank you. I thank you, God. I feel, God, like I preached it, like you gave it to me, God. And I feel like people literally have shaken off small expectation, low expectation. They've gotten rid of the apple mentality and said, God, give me the tree. Have moved from tree faith to orchard faith, saying the God of multiplication. God, I believe that what has been said and done in this room tonight, I believe, God, that it is changing lives in this room, at their seats, and online. Lord, we lift up our second mile offering. Do what only you can do with it. You ask us to go a mile, and you told us to go two. So, Lord, above what is required, we move in faith. Multiply what we give tonight for kingdom ministry and family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Brother Jerome. This is Francis, and Francis wants to receive salvation tonight, y'all. Francis, I don't know you, but I want to tell you this. God knows you, and God's been calling you and has been waiting for this moment. There's a lady that's standing right behind you that's one of the greatest Christians I've ever known. And over 39, 40 years ago, she stood at this church in an altar just like this. She said yes to Jesus, and now she's going to step around in front of me. She's going to lead you to Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you this. It's so important that out of the 8 billion people on this earth, he would do it if it was only you. We believe that the cross and the blood of Jesus is so vitally important to us. And your destination eternally changes tonight from a life without God in a real place called hell to heaven is where you're going in Jesus' name. Sister Gloria, if you'll lead Francis. Come on, let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. I talked to Bishop today, and Bishop said what's missing in most churches. He said they don't place an emphasis on people coming to Jesus. And I looked him, I looked Pastor Becky in the eye, and I said, I promise you as long as I live that at Living Way, altar calls are always going to happen. We're always going to be reaching forward, introducing people to Jesus. And God gave me this phrase to just help kind of explain Living Way. We want people to come to Jesus, but if they don't come to Jesus, we're going to take Jesus to them in Jesus' name. Amen? Everybody feel good? If you need anything, we're here to pray for you, encourage you. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, I'll see you this week, Sunday morning, and I'll see you next week, Wednesday night. Find one more person and tell them, multiply, multiply, multiply in Jesus' name. Have a great and victorious week. You are dismissed in the name of the Lord.